Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Comic-Con Stars Live from the Boardwalk in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. The legendary boardwalk where we think it won't rain tonight, which will be unusual for this week. But greetings to everybody. We're glad to have you here with us. We got, of course, Mike Roberts, director and good friend of ours. And first of all, I will say hello to Papa Stroh. How are you doing tonight, Papa?
Doing great. Got the cup of coffee going, and great to be here with you all once again.
We're glad to have you here. And also, I'm proud to report I was not AWOL. I was with you last night at WCW Retro, so it was good to be back on there and talk to everybody. So we're glad to have you here tonight. And David
Atwell.
Yeah,
great to be here. Good time.
Yep. Dave Atwell, what's up?
I'm doing fantastic. I hope everybody else is. And, yes, I understand about the rain situation. I sit there for 2 weeks wishing for rain because my vegetables were dying, and now they're dying in the other direction. So hopefully the rain will ease off for a day or two.
Well, let's hope. But I tell you what, they're doing pretty good for my Venus flytraps. They're doing really well. So,
yes, sir.
I got like 40 of them at the house now. They're doing great. So anyway, glad to have you here. And Todd, you're back with us. How are you doing tonight, Todd?
I am outstanding, the supernatural, and just ecstatic to be here, Dr. John, Papa Stroh,
well,
Big Dave,
good.
And well, sir, we are happy to have you to talk all about your films, Mr. Roberts.
Oh, yeah, awesome. And we got Mike here. Just got a plug, which I'll be plugging every day for the next 4.5 weeks. That is the one and only Cape Fear Comic-Con, Wilmington, North Carolina. August, starring three of the people on, well, yeah, don't count me as a star, I'm just a guy at the door, but counting our stars of that event, Papa Stroh, Dave Atwell, Mike Roberts. Mike Roberts, it is always good to have you here on the show, and it's always good to talk to you. We talk a lot, and thank you for being with us, Mike.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me.
Mike, what's up?
Yeah. What's going on, man?
Hey, Mike, how's it going, man? Good to hear from you, dude.
How's it going? Yeah, yeah.
Great.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Congratulations on all the events, man. Tearing it up.
Thanks, man. Hopefully we'll dive into that a little bit today.
Absolutely, we will. So what I want to do is I want to cut right to the chase. I got the best phone call that I've received in a long time, several weeks ago, from Mike Roberts, that said, "We just finished my new film, Smell, and the cast decided that we want to do a Comic-Con premiere at one of your events." I said, "Come on to Wilmington. That's the film capital of my East Coast, I'll tell you that." So we are going to be showing a brand new film by Mike Roberts, and along with being in the Up All Night Film Festival, which it will be a part of, we're going to be featuring Smell. So Mike, before anything happens, before you get away, before anything happens, tell us about this brand new film. Who's in it? What's it about? And what's going on with Smell?
All right. So Smell is a short film. It was written by a guy named Robert J. Lee, and he's actually a really good short film writer that I hooked up with a few months back. And I did one of his films called The Moon and Her Tresses, which was kind of I don't want to say like horror, but it's a little bit on the supernatural side, we'll say. And then we came up and found this script called Smell that he had done, and I read it, and it was kind of funny. It reminded me of the old school Inspector Clouseau from the Pink Panther. And
So
we decided to run with it, and we brought in Ryan Williams, who we had just recently used on the sitcom Vaughn. We brought in Amy Cody, who was also in Vaughn. We brought a favorite of yours there, John. We brought in Will Williams. And we also brought in Garrett Bolt. And we went and we shot this short film in a span of about, not counting the makeup, and anybody who sees it will understand, but not counting the makeup. We shot it in about 2 hours and had it edited and ready to go about a day later. And so it was extremely fun shoot. It's a very funny Ryan Williams just completely brought that character to life, and he plays a detective with a we'll call it a supernatural sense of smell. He can solve crimes by his sense of smell, and yeah, we let him have fun with it, and he took it over the top. He does the whole French accent, and it's a fun little short film.
Yes, that's awesome.
Well, I already know I can both visualize him pulling. Oh, good grief, that's going to be good.
You know, we've already been told. Yeah, the initial feedback that we got off of it, a lot of people put two and two together with the Inspector Clouseau type thing, but they also said that Ryan gave it kind of a feel if you mixed Inspector Clouseau with Ace Ventura. So that'll just let you know what you have in store.
All right.
Well, that's great. Yeah. You mentioned Will Williams. He was with us with Papa Stroh and I this weekend at Steampunk Mid-Atlantic in Raleigh. And he came back and we shot some footage for, this is going to be a YouTube video, but it was a little bit of a recap of Steampunk Mid-Atlantic. And it featured, of course, the teapot racing drone flying over and back over Papa Stroh's head. And just a lot of fun things. So that's going to be out on YouTube here in about a week and a half. And then, it was great seeing him. He's got a lot of great things going on, and I'm glad he was in your film. I don't believe I know Amy. I don't know that I have met her. Tell us just because I know we're all familiar with Ryan. He's been on the show. Will's been on the show. Can you just tell us a little bit about Amy and the other gentleman that's in the film that we may not know about?
Yeah, Amy Cody, if you go back and watch the first two episodes of Vaughn from season one, in the very first episode, there's a montage about people auditioning to be roommates. And Amy plays like this super overly obsessed fangirl. And and then we brought her back in the second episode when Ryan and Vaughn are out at a club. And Vaughn is hitting on a girl and trying to make headway when all of a sudden here comes super crazy fangirl once again. And she's trying to snap selfies and take pictures. And also towards the end of the episode when Vaughn gets himself into some trouble, Amy is actually her real-life sister, Summer, is in that as well. And towards the end of the episode, they're both the ones that were walking by and took the picture that gets Vaughn into trouble. You know, Amy's a really cool person. Actually, John, you did meet her. She came down and she represented for us on WECT when you did your convention out here. She came down and was the face of Vaughn.
Oh, yeah, right.
During
me and Papa Stroh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's Amy, yeah.
Okay,
and Garrett Bolt, he's a local actor. He's extremely talented. I met him because he had come out and done some extra work on Vaughn. So he was in the background during a club scene, and afterwards for some other projects, he had submitted some auditions for me. He did a great job. We just really didn't know whether or not we could use him for the role or not. So when this particular role came up, I gave him a call and I explained to him what was going on. And I said, look, unfortunately, again, this really has no dialogue for you, but it's a very key thing in this whole short film. Like, and he was just delighted with the idea, and he showed up, and he was a trooper. He was great, and you know, I know he had a good time, and it was hilarious. So, our whole cast and crew really for that knocked it out of the park and had a lot of fun.
Well, that's great. Now, where did you film it? In Wilmington, correct?
Yeah, technically, we shot it in Leland, which is just across the bridge. And like I mentioned to you before, Amy has a real-life sister named Summer who's also in Vaughn, and we actually shot it at her sister's apartment over in the Leland area, which isn't far. In fact, it's so close to the bridge, pretty much, that I think most people would consider that was Wilmington. Like, if you say, where do you live, they'd say Wilmington, even though it's technically Leland.
Gotcha. Well, I know we're looking forward to seeing it at the Up All Night Film Festival, part of the Cape Fear Comic Con. We've got a lot of great things planned for that. I'll be talking more about the lineup of films next week. Still looking for some short films. For that, we are going to have the Rack Pack by Dale Rackley in the festival, so people will get to
good
see
deal.
That. So, and it'll be nice to have Daryl and get to talk with him. He's just a super nice guy and everything. And now you mentioned The Moon and Her Tresses.
Yes, sir.
That short film, the actor in that film is now someone I believe you might be doing some projects with coming up. Is that correct?
Yeah, so here's the thing. Well, first of all, The Moon and Her Tresses is a great – I'm not saying it just because, you know, I directed it and shot it and everything, but it's actually a really good short film, and it only has two actors in it, and both of them amazing talent. Zoe Clark and Bill Frost did an amazing job in that short film, and Bill and I – go a little bit further back. There was back in around 2013-2014, I was putting a project together that Bill had submitted for, and he and I talked a little bit, and then I had, you know, agreed to cast and bring him onto that project, and that project happened to fall through. So Bill and I talked about possibly doing some other work together. He's a very prominent filmmaker. He's also a magician. He's a martial arts master that teaches kung fu pretty much in Jacksonville. He had his own production company, and he's just a super nice guy. And he actually came in and did some work on Vaughn as well. He's in the TMZ type scenes where it's you know, the paparazzi media type thing. So and. You know, he came in and took a role on that, and we got a chance to work together. And then when The Moon and Her Tresses came about, I felt like Bill was perfect for the role. And in the meantime, during all of this, Bill and I had been talking on the phone. We realized that we're pretty much a lot alike. We have the same mindset and everything. We both come from a martial arts background. And you know, talking to Bill is like talking to family. Like, I felt like I was talking to my own brother kind of thing. So we decided to take it a step further, and we had a meeting last weekend, and we decided to – we're keeping our separate entities. Demented Entertainment is still there, and Bill's production company is still there. But we're combining all of our resources and creating a third entity – for a film production company. So we actually just came up with a name for it, and we've put a bunch of projects that we're talking about doing. I think while we sat down, we came up with 9 projects that we wanted to try to get done before the end of the year. And it seems like every day that we talk, we're able to probably tack on 2 or 3 more projects to it, because we just constantly have ideas. We're very creative types. And so far, I mean, we work well together. We're enough alike to work well together, and we're enough different to work well together. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's called Illusionary Pictures, and we just started a Facebook page for it today, and it's already up over like 140 people are already following. It's been up for maybe 3-4 hours, so it's already garnering a decent following on there. The response has all been positive. People that have worked with me in the past, people that have worked with Bill in the past are pretty excited about this kind of merger. And, you know, we are too. We're very excited to see what we can do and produce a bunch of quality content for everybody. And I think it's a great thing. So, you know, if you guys or anybody else wants to check it out and follow and keep up with what we've got going on, it's just Illusionary Pictures at Facebook. So
we will do that. I'll encourage everybody to check that out, like the page. I know I will do that. So that's great. Well, it looks like you've got some great things going on. What is the next thing that you're going to be tackling? Because I know you've done Smell. What is the next thing that you believe you'll be tackling?
Well, I have before Bill and I decided to do this, I had already had a couple of short films planned. I still have the Stephen King film that's about Sherlock Holmes as well. That one's going to be a little bit delayed. Most people that have kept up with me know that I've been going through some health issues for like the last month. And so we're going to have to renew our option on that, and it's going to get postponed a little bit. But the very next thing for us is a short film that we've been working on that's still written by the same guy, Robert J. Lee, and it's called 3 Feet of Seafood. We've been planning this one out for a little over a year because around the time we got started with it, the weather turned too cold, and it involved being in the water at some point. So we had to wait for the weather to warm up, and now we just have to wait for all the tourists to go home. we've got that, and then Bill had a project that he had written that we're currently breaking down and starting to look to shoot. It is another short film, but it's a longer one. It's about a 20-minute short film, and I believe Bill is currently working on a project called Write About Me, and he's got some of the principal photography done for that. And, of course, I'm going to step in and help out with that as well. And right off the bat, I mean, we've got there's so many projects to jump into. And I've been doing a lot of experimental filmmaking. The last two shorts, The Moon and Her Tresses and Smell, when you guys see them, they were shot in 4K. And believe it or not, I shot them on a Galaxy S8 Plus cell phone. So this is kind of a taboo thing right now, because telling somebody you shot something on a cell phone, they don't really think that, you know, the quality and stuff is there. But, we had I have a motorized gimbal and stabilizer that lets me do a lot of things, a lot of freedom, and the picture quality is amazing, and everything has come out good. So we've just been experimenting on these short films, shooting them with mobile phones, which has been an amazing experience. We're not going to do everything that way. Bill has an A7, A7 II S or A7S II, whatever it is. It's a Sony. It's a really nice one. And between the two of us, we just have a ton of equipment, and we're just looking to think outside the box with filmmaking as well, because there's not many people that are willing to go out there and shoot things the way that we're doing it. And if you keep doing the same thing that everybody else has done before you, it's not really being creative now, is it?
No, it's not. And I've got two quick questions I want to ask you. Number one, what did you use for sound on these two films? Did you use just the internal microphone, the cell phone, or what
no,
did
no.
you use?
No, we used external sound. We still used our regular sound equipment. We still use regular light kits and everything else. It's just the only thing that was different is that they were shot on a cell phone. And because I have a motorized handheld gimbal, it lets me do things like normally if you wanted to follow somebody, you know, walking down a hallway, you'd have to lay down some track and then you'd have to put a dolly on it and then attach this camera and then push it down. Well, with this, it's handheld and it's very, it gives the exact same effect. It's so stable. It's motorized. So it's being held in place and by motors. And so you don't have to take all the time to set all this stuff up. If you want a shot that looks like it starts up at the sky and comes down low, guess what? You just hold this gimbal above your head like you're the Statue of Liberty, and then you start moving it down, and you get the same shot without having to set up a crane and the jib arm and all that kind of stuff. So it gives a lot of freedom. It allows us to move quickly when we shoot. Like I said, we were able to shoot a short film in a couple of hours and have it ready for show 24 hours later because we didn't have to take a whole lot of time setting things up. It was just move from one spot to another.
That's really good. I'm impressed with that. And just to know that you can save money and save time and come have the same quality, I mean, what more can you say?
Yeah, and it speaks volumes because The Moon and Her Tresses was entered into some international film festivals, and it actually won in Paris, France, at the Cannes Fest. It actually won Best Short Film at the Westlake Film Festival in China. We were runner-up. We were a runner-up for Best Micro Film, and then we actually got another award for Best Short Film in the Ortigia Film Festival in Italy.
Wow.
So
I'll
tell you this right now. I have shot on many, many different types of cameras and different types of production, and never have any of those films gone up and won international awards. This one I busted out on a cell phone in 2 hours on a Sunday with two actors, a sound person, a slate person, and it won. It was in three international film festivals.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
And it was shot on a cell phone.
See, now when you talk about that, I want to tell a quick story. In Myrtle Beach, the dean of photographers is Jack Thompson. He has been around here. His illustrious career started in 1954 when Hurricane Hazel hit Myrtle Beach. He is known far and wide for his great black and whites from the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. And I saw him about a week and a half ago. No camera. He was taking pictures with his cell phone. And, you know, again, I think it's through the eye of the beholder, it's through the eye of the photographer. He took pictures, and they were incredible. Didn't look like what I take. So it's definitely the photographer, it's definitely the cameraman, and you can do some amazing things with a darn cell phone now.
Well, it's that, and I'll tell you just like I tell everybody else. Here's the thing. We're not buying cell phones anymore. We're buying video cameras that can make phone calls because, let's face it, not a lot has changed in the technology of the cell phone itself, and every time a new phone comes out, the first question anybody asks when they're buying their phone is, how good of pictures does it take? How good of video does it shoot? That's the biggest thing. So in order for these phones like iPhone and Galaxy that are competing with each other, For them to actually be successful when they release a phone, it has to have a better camera than what the competitor had. So the competition between the cameras and the technology for videos and photos on the cell phones is actually rising faster than it is on actual cameras and video cameras because the competition doesn't happen as quickly. But the new cell phones come out, what, once a year? They're so fast that the best feature has to be, oh, well, guess what? We can shoot 4K video. Guess what? Ours is HD ready and virtual reality ready. Or this one has, I remember when front-facing cameras, like the one that would be on the front of your camera that you take a picture with, like that would be like a little 1-megapixel camera. Now the front-facing one is a 16-megapixel picture that's better than a camera that you could go buy in the store, like the little point-and-shoot. So it's the technology is improving, and with Galaxy specifically, they have started using a new Sony sensor that is equivalent, especially in low light. It's actually like a very small version of what you would see on like a Red camera, but on a small scale. And the Red camera is like something that people, that's like the film camera. And I'm not saying that your cell phone is going to shoot the same video that the Red camera is, because let's face it, it's a micro sensor. It's small. But the video that I get out of this cell phone is better than the Canon T3Is that I've shot with, or even, you know, pretty much better than most of the cameras that I've seen used. It's definitely above DSLR quality.
Wow, that's great. Now, another thing that you just mentioned were some film festival awards that you had won. Papa Stroh, you are now on the film festival circuit with your bio. What, by the way, what is tell us about where all that has been and what's it been doing, and also what, I don't know that I've ever known the name of that great film done by Brad Bethel and Evan Kidd, Papa Stroh. So what's the exact name of it, and how's it been doing on the film circuit?
Well, it's a film documentary done by Green Hero Films called The Maestro, and it's a documentary, up close and personal documentary of what I go through day to day and how to prepare for events and what I've gone through in my career. And right now it's currently playing selected festivals. That's already played in Winston-Salem and screened in Michigan. And it's touring with selected film festivals across the country and supposed to be wrapping up around the fall towards the North Carolina area. Possibly Fayetteville, possibly Charlotte, and it will be playing at the Carolina Fan Expo October 12th, actually, I believe, at the Select Sportsplex in Hickory, North Carolina, the Carolina Fan Expo, and possibly at the Cape Fear Comic-Con, too. It's going pretty good.
Absolutely, and if we can, I'd like to play that film at a couple more places other than just Cape Fear, as we go on our Comic-Con circuit here. But I think that'll be great, and I know I've heard a lot of great things. I'm looking forward to just sitting down and seeing it. Do we know as of yet if it's going to be at the Kookaloras?
Yes, it'll be at the Kookaloras as well, coming up this fall.
That's great. Do you have the date for the Kookaloras?
Not offhand, but I know it'll be sometime this fall.
Yeah,
like it does every year.
Well,
exactly.
Well, we want to make sure. I definitely want to go there and be there with you if I can. I certainly enjoyed being with you for Son of Clowns and me and Evan Kidd and that whole cast of characters, and I know Evan and Bradley, so I hope that can work out. I'd love to be there, and maybe after the Kookaloras we can go eat some Jamaican food with Mike Roberts. Hey, Mike, your new business partner Bill, does he like Jamaican food?
I don't know. I'm sure he does. He likes that spicy jalapeno beer, and so I can only imagine what the Jamaica House jerk chicken sandwich would do for him.
Nice,
Papa Stroh. You like the food at the Jamaica House, didn't you?
That's a good one, John. But the chicken salad was really good, and I think that's what I'll probably stick to next time I go there. It was pretty delicious.
I got you. Well, I want the fried.
I got
that.
Their jerk chicken is probably like the most authentic, and I just, that's all I ever get when I go there. I get the jerk chicken, and
it just
doesn't get any better than that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
that is good.
Well, that's good. Well, I tell you, that's neat. We got two folks with with films out there on the circuit, winning awards, being seen by a lot of people on here tonight. I'll just say that a week from Saturday, I will be in Camden with Jesse Elliott, who won the drone teapot racing category at Steampunk Mid-Atlantic. He and I will be doing some drone shots of the Camden battlefield and the Camden main campus of historic Camden, which we'll be using for a collection of documentaries that we're going to be putting together. I've talked with a couple of you on this call already about being involved. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So I guess a lot of us are going to be actively working on films left and right, and that's just a good thing. Now, I guess, Dave, I wanted to ask you something. You talked to me several times about getting some of the hunger translated into film. Is that correct? You said you were looking to do that at some point, right?
Almost certainly. The biggest challenge, of course, would be the fact that the first two are set in the frontier, and you know, any type of frontier stuff, you have to involve animals. And then all of a sudden, the scene changes. I mean, here in North Carolina, we have plenty of fields and woods and everything that could represent what was going on in Dakota Territory at the time and everything. But when you involve horses and doggies and all that kind of stuff, you know, the price seems to go through the roof. But alternatively, as the book series continues on, it will wander into other eras in time, and you know, with the third book being, you know, during the Jack the Ripper era, you know, it takes all of the animal element out of it, and then we move into costumes being the big pain in the neck. But you know, it was funny, Mike was talking about shooting stuff on his phone and everything. My niece, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, went out in the woods with a couple of her friends and shot like a 30-second little blurb or something. And when she showed it to me, the first thing out of my mouth was, you know, good to see you got money for all these cameras and everything. And she's like, no, did it right here on my phone. And it was all just a matter of, the shooting, the editing side of it and everything. But it was amazing the shots she got with that phone. So,
I was just going to say, and right now there's actually two films that have already been in theaters that were shot on an iPhone 7.
No kidding.
What are those?
One was called Tangerine, and it was an award-winning film. It got shown in theaters, and the other one, and I cannot think of the title of it for the life of me, but it was done by a pretty well-known director, and it was just in theaters a couple months ago. It wasn't that long ago. And
wow.
I mean, you know, there are people that will look at it, and you know, people who work in film that will look at it and say, okay, I can tell like this particular thing was shot with a phone and not with a cinema lens. But for the average person watching it, I mean, there's no way for them to tell the difference.
Yeah, see, that's amazing, and I've...
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead, John, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, what about zoom in and zoom out? Can you do that?
Now, here's the thing. So they do have snap-on lenses that you can put over your lens that allow you to do things like that. I don't personally recommend that you ever try to zoom in and zoom out from a phone because it does a digital zoom and not an optical, so... The more you zoom, just like if you take a picture and you're zoomed all the way out, it comes back. It's real nasty, pixelated looking. But the key to shooting with the cell phone is that you're not bound to anything. So you're not bound to a tripod. You're not bound to being plugged into a bunch of stuff. So you really don't need to zoom. If you need a close-up shot, you just walk up to what you need because it's so small and mobile. You need a close-up shot of... this person talking, you walk up till they're exactly in the frame like you want them to be, and you just start shooting.
Wow. Yeah, and see, what that does is that actually kind of opens the doors for a lot of folks and I don't mean this in a derisive sense when I say down here on the ground, you know, us guys that don't have the Spielberg budgets and are able to actually put things out, because I myself, you know, speaking on the Hunger series and everything, I had even had a few ideas for some kind of Twilight Zone-ish type things that would be, you know, just quick scripts that I've got rolling around in my mind that what I need to do is sit down and write the darn things, but would, you know, culminate into, and as a matter of fact, I was speaking to Will Williams not long ago about one of them that would only involve three actors at the most and could be shot in an office. And, you know, all that being said, you know, we've talked a million times how everything starts with a story. If your story is right, then you don't have to have the lavish backgrounds and all that kind of jazz. You can actually go in there and make something good out of something simple. And I think Mike's proven that with his work.
Go ahead, please. I was just going to say, the thing is it definitely doesn't come to mind when people first think of it. And I'll give you a good example. I had a friend from a while back that contacted me recently. Her name was Dory. And she said, you know, her son was looking to try to get in the film, and she wanted me to talk to him. So, you know, this is a young guy. I think he was like 16 or 17 years old. And so we started talking, and I said, well, what's the big thing holding you back? And he says, well, you know, cameras are so expensive, and, you know, my mom can't afford to buy a camera. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. What cell phone do you own? And he says, well, I have the new iPhone X. And I said, well, then you already have a camera that's better than most people. So just go shoot it on that. I remember back in the day, like when I was very first dipping my toe into the film world. And I mean, I was determined that to make a film, I didn't need, you know, big fancy cameras. I owned a 8mm handheld camera that my parents shot their vacation videos on. You know, in the right hand, you can do that. You can go shoot on that 8mm camera and still make a short film or still make something that entertains people or is worth watching. But the thing is like nowadays people don't realize that, you know, I don't know how much you guys paid for your phones, but I know that like my Galaxy S8 when I got it was over $1,000. And I'm walking around with $1,000 camera in my pocket. You're damn right I'm going to use it.
Well, there you go. Filmmaking has just, you know, Ed Wood would so much approve of this, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
all stuff in a place.
Well, that's great. And so, yeah, I think we've come a long way, and I know that I want to be using some of this technology when I get the documentary done for Historic Camden about the ghosts out there and everything, and also using drones. Drones are so effective. I did a shoot with Farmer's Telephone. They did a nice thing on Lizard Man, and they started out with drone footage. And Stro, I know that when you did, what was it, Checkpoint, they used drones just off the bow of the ship to film some fight scenes, didn't they?
Oh, not only from the battleship, but out in the field, and several scenes were made using drones. It was pretty fascinating.
Wow, that's incredible.
It's funny because when DSLRs first started being able to record video, you had people who had worked in film and only used, you know, film cameras or even like, you know, DV cameras and beta cams that said, you know, DSLRs will never be able to shoot as good a video as, you know, a real film camera. It'll never be able to take pictures as well as a real film camera. And now we all know that DSLRs rose and went above and beyond. And it's kind of the same thing. Now everybody's using these DSLRs to shoot film, and now here comes this whole new wave of people shooting stuff on mobile phones, and you have the DSLR people who are saying the same thing. They're saying, oh, the cell phone can never shoot the same quality video that a DSLR can. And they're wrong, just like the people with the film cameras were wrong about DSLRs not being able to do it.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, that's great to know. All right. As we kind of wind down, I would like for each one of our panelists to pose a question to you, Mike, before
sure.
I have to disappear from view back onto the boardwalk here in Myrtle Beach. And, hey, Todd, like to let you go first. Is there something you'd like to ask director, producer, cameraman, and filmmaker Mike Roberts?
All right, and you're sitting here doing this on a budget you definitely don't have, as Dave said, the Spielberg budget. But so you're sitting here, you're doing it now, and time is money too. So when you guys are
sure.
sitting here and working, and I know some of the, you know, the table reads and stuff like that is important, and you talk about how short a time you put into actually shooting the film. The
sure.
prep work time. So you talked about you don't have a lot of the equipment too, so you're saving a ton of prep work time and manpower on that. But for the table read, the script, the walkthroughs, rehearsals, if you will, what kind of time are you talking total? Because, you know,
well, here's the thing. So we'll take short our Smell, because it was the latest film that we just did. And
okay.
so when I got my actors together, I sent them a script. We did not do a table read. I scheduled it so that when we got there on set, because we didn't have to set up all of that stuff, I walked through, I blocked the shots, I coached my actors on what I wanted, and then while they each took turns going into makeup, I would have the other actors walking through the scene, going through the gestures, the facial expressions, the conversation. And I would follow through with my camera taking still photos so that I knew as soon as I hit record, I already had an idea of what I wanted for each person and at what point in time. So we got to the location at 10 o'clock. We got Ryan in makeup. We blocked the shot. We brought Ryan out. We sent Garrett in for makeup, and then we blocked the shots with the three main actors. As soon as Garrett was out, we started rolling. We were out of there by 1:30. And then
wow.
all the post-production stuff I did myself. I came home that day. I dumped all the footage and all the audio onto my computer. And then I began editing. And like I said, I had a rough cut done within 12 hours. And then I had a final cut done within the next 5 or 6 hours. And then, of course, I had to let it, you know, sit and render to full 4K quality, which took like an overnight ordeal. And then we held off for like a day or two before we made it available for people to watch. And just because it would have been ready on July 2nd, and we said, you know what, let's just make this ready for people to watch on the 4th of July, just because. 4th of July.
Yeah.
So, total, nice. Total, everything was done in a day, other than the editing. So I like to move fast, and like I said, with this mobility that I have using this setup, I don't have to worry about, you know, switching lenses and checking focuses and doing this, you know, all the main stuff that you would have to do, and, you know, changing position for your close-ups, your mediums, your wides. Like, all I had to do was just position where I was standing in conjunction to the actors. So we didn't have to move things around.
That's just stinking amazing. I do want to throw this out. It wasn't long after Fallen came out on Amazon Prime. They had done that, and I made sure I had tagged the guys in it. My wife had... Yeah, I forget, the little electronic device so we could actually watch the Amazon Prime on video. And that was the very first thing I told her. I said, you know what we're going to watch? We're going to watch Vaughn. So I went ahead and I took a still shot with myself of the TV screen.
I remember
posted
this.
It.
Yeah, I remember this.
Right.
And actually, the cool thing now is, you know, Bond is available on more places than just Amazon Prime. Another company called Tubi TV, which is Tubi TV, which is a big format. It's available on like PlayStation, Xbox. You can just go to it on a web browser, and everything that they have on there is free, and everything is from all these major studios. So you can go to Tubi TV, and you'll find Vaughn, and it's nested in there with stuff like, you know, really popular TV shows, The Brady Bunch, Alf, the Dick Van Dyke Show. I mean, like, it's in there with all these other major studio projects. So it actually made us feel really good to know that Tubi TV was like, hey, we're gonna put Vaughn out there. So
awesome.
That's
dude.
Great.
I'm just proud of you guys, man.
Well, we appreciate
really
it for sure.
And Mike, remind me the next time we talk, Eno River Media has got Eno TV now, and they've got some fine content up there in Raleigh, and I'll put you in touch with Anthony Dowling, who's the executive director. They probably would be thrilled to have Vaughn and would do a lot of publicity for it. We can see, but just next time we talk, remind me and I'll put you in touch with those guys as well.
Sure, sure.
Good. All right, David Atwell, what you got for Mike?
Well, actually, you kind of hit on it just in your last answer. Mine was going to be about the editing when you're using the phones. You know, do you film scenes? Do you block it off and do, like, you know, several takes and everything, and then go back down, like you said, download them to your computer and decide, you know, the keepers and the non-keepers and all that kind of stuff. You know, how
sure.
do you go about doing the editing side when you're using your telephone versus, you know, using
okay.
normal equipment?
So it's really no different. We treat everything the same. We still have a slate up there that marks each scene, marks each take. And, you know, I'll put everything, I'll download everything off of the phone onto my hard drive. I'll go through, I'll find the takes that I like, where I think, you know, the actors did a good job and the camera work was, you know, satisfactory. And, I take those files and I put them into the same video editor I would any of my other ones, either, you know, Premiere Pro or Vegas. And I edit it just like I would anything else. I mean, the footage is pretty much the same as far as, you know, file formats and compatibility. It is 4K, and my computer does struggle a little bit with that, so I do have to do something, you know, a little different. I have to use proxy videos. I have to make smaller files that are lower resolution, do the editing that way, and then replace those files with the originals, and then it'll apply the edit to those original files. To keep from having to edit 4K video because it's so big. I mean, even the more powerful computers out there right now struggle with 4K video usually. So that's about the only thing. But also, Dave, I know you mentioned it's funny. When I walked by your table at the last convention and I saw your book cover and I noticed that it was like kind of set in the Old West. And just to let you know, that this merger that I have with Bill Frost, you know, he's already got a Western planned on the slate, so he actually already has access to not only the horses and stuff, but we have access to places that look like the old Western towns and all that.
No kidding.
Oh, I hear the wheels turning.
Just letting you know. Just letting
uh-oh.
You know.
That was, it's
Let me just bring up the fact that you said that your other one had to do with Jack the Ripper and you're worried about wardrobe. And then what's the other film I'm shooting, Dave?
Yeah,
I'm
Sherlock
shooting
Holmes.
A Sherlock Holmes period piece that's around 1899. That's right around the time of Jack the Ripper. The wardrobe would be
yes,
the
sir.
Same. Come on.
Man, I tell
come
you
on,
what,
Dave. Get at me.
This is the reason
me,
why
Dave.
We don't do this on video, because everybody would see the chubby that I'm experiencing right now. So it's good that we keep this just dialed
hey,
in.
Hey, dude, no, they wouldn't. Just that.
He said they don't make cameras that small, Dave.
Yeah, we were talking about zooming earlier and how things get pixelated, you know?
Okay.
Oh, God.
Well, Dave.
But you know what's funny? When you're talking about the editing on there, it reminds me, and here I am going to bare my soul. Back in the good old days, what was it? Probably right around 2000, I got into the movie pirating stuff back when you used to have to use the DivX and down
DivX
the movie. You remember doing all the encoding and all that jazz?
Yeah, then you had to do the chapter breaks and put that shit in Nero.
Yeah, dude, and you had to make sure you cut it right at the right time of the scene and everything. And of course, back in those days, a lot of us were still doing dial-up. So you would set that thing for overnight, and you know, I remember telling my crowd, you know, I was like, okay, look, I've got the movie set. It's going to run until about 7:30 in the morning. Nobody pick up the phone. Nobody touch the computer. And, I mean, it got right militant around the house here because you didn't want to. It took far long to encode some of that stuff, you know. You didn't want to drop the ball on it.
You started it, and that movie will be ready for them next Christmas, and that's what they get in
exactly.
Their stocking.
Wow.
But when I got rid of dial-up, buddy, the pirating went in full gear, and
something
I wasn't proud of, but, maybe a little, $5 here, $5 there. But
oh, come on, everybody did it.
Yeah, man. It's,
they might not have sold it, but everybody
– doing it.
There might not have been everybody selling the stuff, but everybody downloaded MP3s. Come on.
Yes, sir. All night long, man.
Yeah.
The good old days, right?
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot, buddy. And now I'll switch to Papa Stro. You got a question for Mike Roberts?
Yeah, Mike, I just wanted to ask you, what advice would you give to aspiring directors out there on their journey in the film industry? What good piece of advice you could probably give them?
Man, I'll give them the one piece of advice that I learned from experience, and that is never take no for an answer and never let anybody tell you that you can't do something. If you can think of it, that means you're capable of doing it.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not saying it on absurd stuff like, well, that's not true because if I think about flying like Superman, it doesn't mean I can fly like Superman. No, that's not the case. But the thing is when I first got started, the thing that actually really got me started was being told that I couldn't do it. And I'm not that guy. Like, I don't like to be told that I can't do something. And the first feature film that I did back in 2007 was a horror movie called The Artifact. And I went into a producer's office at Screen Gem Studios right here in Wilmington. And I had this guy pretty much insult me by saying that it would require too large of a budget and that there just wouldn't be enough interest in the script itself to generate that kind of budget, so it would never get made. And when he said that to me, I looked him dead in the face and I said, look, I said, I don't care if I leave here and I go over to, at the time, I think it was like Circuit City. I was like, I'll go to Circuit City and I'll buy just a little handheld video camera and I'll get some of my friends together and I'll shoot and make the movie. I mean, you're not going to tell me it can't be done or won't be done. I said, but I will tell you this. As soon as I'm done shooting it, you'll get the first copy. And that's exactly what happened. I didn't go to Circuit City. I actually went home. I started – this was when YouTube was in its very early stages. And I started looking for other filmmakers in Wilmington that had YouTube pages. And that's when I found William Redd. And Will had a Canon XL2, which was a really nice camera at the time. And I said, look, man, I don't know that we'll get a budget for this, and I don't know that, but do you want to be a part of this? Let's just go shoot something. Let's make something. And he was on board right from the start. And we actually did end up raising a budget. We went out and shot it. It got made. It got finished. It got distribution. And as soon as they mailed me my box of, like, 200 DVDs, the very first thing I did was take that DVD over to that producer's office. I threw it on his desk and said, there you go. So That was coming from somebody with no film experience. I had never done film stuff before, but he told me that I couldn't make a movie, and I damn sure was going to prove him wrong. And so for anybody that wants to get started, if you've got that passion and you've got that drive, there's nothing anybody can say to you or even obstacles that can get in your way that'll stop you from being able to make a movie.
I hear you. Yeah.
Well, that's great advice.
I do have one question. I know, John, I know you're real big into the paranormal and all that stuff, and you know, that was my background for like 13 years was, you know, doing the ghost hunting and being on the Sci-Fi Channel and all that stuff. But I have a question for all you guys that I want you to answer for me, okay? Now,
fire.
We just spent the last hour talking about how great the photos and videos are on the new cell phones. Why are the pictures of Bigfoot, ghosts, and UFOs still blurry as shit?
Exactly. That's what I'm screaming. Exactly.
Why can't I see the ticks and lice? Why can't I see the ticks and lice crawling on Bigfoot?
Okay, Mike, I'm gonna answer that question because my book
and Mermaids
Explorers is coming out Monday.
And lizards.
Bigfoot Explorers. And the Patterson Gimlin footage was shot on a 16mm studio quality film. And what happened? Of course, they were shocked when they saw Bigfoot walking. And there's some jostling around and all that. But the stabilized version, they have stabilized that film, you know, through some digital processing. And you can see any anatomical part of that animal down to 1/2 of an inch. The film is absolutely stunning. All you have to do, and in fact, I'll send you a copy of the book. It's got the YouTube links. You can see the stabilized version, and it is perfectly clear. And this is from 1967.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, there are people that are posting pictures of what they ate at Taco Bell that are so clear I can tell you what kind of sauce was on it. But where are the ghost pictures now?
Well, I can't speak to any of that, but I can speak to the Patterson Gimlin footage, which is the most famous, and it's from 1967, before we had any kind of digital processing or anything. So, you know, I'll be glad to talk. We'll talk about that sometime. But yeah, it's magnificent footage, and I'm glad.
Boy, you had to open that can.
Yeah, well, see, and I was ready because when you're finishing up a book. Which I got some marvelous stories about from the She Squatchers and Matt Delph, and we got a whole section on my book. There's a whole big section on Patterson Gimlin and that footage. So Mike, I'll bring you a copy of the book next week, and we will go to the Jamaica House, and I'll show you the article, and then you can look at that footage. And I hope I have answered.
You might find some more supernatural phenomena at the Jamaica House.
I'm just saying, Mike,
you did this to yourself.
Hey, I know how to get a free lunch, right? Like, I just asked him about Bigfoot, and now you got to take me to lunch. And all I do is start complaining and say, I'm going to take you to lunch and show this to you, damn it.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'll show you, buddy. I'll take you to lunch and buy you a jerk chicken sandwich. I'll show you.
That's
exactly right. Well, that's better than other people, Mike, is all I've got to say. So anyway, I'll do that. Thanks for letting me have a go with that one. And so I guess I'll have to say it's time for me to turn into a pumpkin. Actually, it's time for me to turn into a lizard man and head back to the boardwalk. Because 10 o'clock is calling, and I want to thank everybody on here. It was a lot of fun. Mike, you're a great friend, great guest, great filmmaker, and we look forward to your upcoming projects, and I look forward to showing you some footage next week at the Jamaica House. I want to say thanks to Todd up in Indiana for being with us every week as he is. We love having you, Dave Atwell, up there,
yes,
spiriting away in Jacksonville, and, of course, the one and only Papa Stroh. Oh, we're blessed to have you. We're blessed to have all of you. So I'm going to say thanks to everybody for being on this edition of Comic-Con Stars. We'll see you next week, and I'll tell you the results of what Mike thinks when we have lunch. Now, Mike, remember, I'm buying you lunch. that may, that my guy, sound like the Trump administration, that may color what you say, but I don't think it will. I think you're a man of integrity.
I'm just saying it might take a few lunches to convince me, depending on how the footage looks, so we might have to have multiple meetings, you know.
Oh, well, we always
have
that.
Just saying.
Now that I'm done with the summer con, I know, so we'll do it. And I might have to have Stro at one of those now. I mean, you know, we may have to have a real whatever. But anyway, thanks, everybody. You guys are wonderful friends. It's good to have you on. And it's time for me to spirit back to the boardwalk. As you notice, I said spirit. Thanks to everybody. We'll see you next week on Comic-Con Stars, 9 p.m. Central. No, 9 p.m.
Thank you all.
Eastern. Golly. Thanks a lot. Have a good one. Take care. Have a blessed week.
All right.
Thanks,
good night,
group.
Everybody.
Have a good one.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Great show,
I appreciate
group.
It, man.